is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one could compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
Mississippi residents who are remembering the 12th anniversary of the landfall of Hurricane Katrina, looking at a tropical storm heading their way. Here's Randy Bell.
On this 12th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, the Mississippi coast is bracing for up to 10 inches of rain from Tropical Storm Harvey. The storm is expected to move inland, tracking to the northeast through the northwestern part of Mississippi as a tropical depression on Friday. Governor Bryan says they're keeping tabs on the situation.
The best that we can do is continue to monitor what conditions may come from this particular event.
The state's emergency management director, Lee Smithson, says despite its unprecedented flooding, the state of Texas has not asked Mississippi for any help.
As devastating as this storm is, you know, Texas has got the resources, at least right now, to really be able to take care of their own.
And he's asking people who want to go to Texas to help the flood victims to contact a volunteer organization and to wait until it's safe to go in. Randy Bell in Jackson.
A Pennsylvania man is the lead plaintiff in a class action lawsuit against Aetna. The suit was filed yesterday, saying the health insurer violated the privacy of customers by sending them letters where the words "filling prescriptions for HIV" was visible. The suit claims the error impacted up to 12,000 customers in nearly two dozen states. The Bucks County man was not actually infected with HIV, but was taking the meds to prevent the infection. His sister learned of the medications through the window in the envelope. USA Radio News.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077, or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077, or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom AmVets team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by discussing all the great things the Eisenhower Center does for hurting people with their president, John Carnac. Then you're going to meet the AmVet's national saddest. He's their head sad sack. You're going to love what he does. And then we'll discuss the upcoming football season with Air Force coach Calhoun. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Frontlines of Freedom is proud to be a part of the Eisenhower Center After the Impact team. They really do great things for our troops with traumatic brain injury, and yeah, they help NFL players and first responders too. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to welcome back to the show John Cornack, the president of the Eisenhower Center. Glad to have you back, John.
Oh, thanks for having me back, Denny.
John, I think I've made it clear to our listeners that one aspect of the Eisenhower Center is After the Impact, which helps active military people, veterans, professional athletes, and first responders who are suffering from traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress, that kind of stuff. But you guys do much more than just After the Impact. What I'd like to do is to ask you now to take some time and share about what else does Eisenhower Center do besides the outstanding After the Impact program?
Well, Denny, we started 28 years ago, and so a lot of people think After the Impact is about 5 years old, but it's a small portion of Eisenhower Center. We have around 140 additional clients that we work with, and what we work is in the behavioral field, so we mental health, behavior, substance prevention. So that's really where our roots are. We're known for the behavior side of it. We usually take some of the hardest cases in the country. And we try to give them a better life, a better quality of life. So we do a lot of cognitive behavioral intervention. We do a lot of group intervention. We do individual interventions. We have a full consortium of all the allied health. We have physicians and physiatrists and psychiatrists and psychologists. And as a whole, we help individuals just lead a better life. And it's not the better life that we think they should live. It's a better life that we can help them find. And so that's really the difference. Eisenhower isn't trying to drive someone to a lifestyle like ours. We're trying to drive them to a lifestyle that they're comfortable with, that they can live with forever. Because, you know, brain injuries just don't go away sometimes. Sometimes you got to live with some of the abnormalities and difficulties that comes with that. So that's, you know, Eisenhower's been built on that philosophy that we're going to help them find a different path to happiness. So we do occupational therapy. We do vocational rehabilitation. We believe that's a real strong part of our program, which is building value back into someone's life. If they were to leave here and not be able to find a job or find that check, I mean, it's something really important in America that you can sustain yourself and help keep yourself, you know, financially solvent and things like that. So we try to help them find their value again, because a lot of times it's been lost. It's been lost in all the different pathways people take with traumatic brain injury. For cognitive behavioral, it's kind of our roots, and we've been doing it such a long time that people sometimes forget, because now you have behavior analysts everywhere. That's just working with the autism field and some other fields, and everyone's, you know, just found, wow, these behaviors are amazing. Well, since our inception, behaviorists have been kind of the platform we go from.
So traumatic brain injury, which when you get it, I don't think you suddenly have this pop-up that says you just have traumatic brain injury. You start having some behavioral problems that maybe only you notice, that other people notice. And it is an injury. It's not an attitude or something like that, though I guess attitudes can develop from it. And I would guess that the bulk of those people get – some kind of an accident, a car accident, a football, something, a mountain climb. Isn't that the normal source of that problem?
Oh, sure. Any blunt trauma to the brain, to your skull, is called contrecoup. So your brain is kind of in a sack of fluid inside a very bony skull. And once your head gets snapped or hits the ground, it could be volleyball, it could hit you in the head, a soccer ball, all the repeated So it doesn't necessarily have to be some traumatic event. It can also be just a repetition of a small event. But it's the bruising of the brain. And so it swells up, the swelling goes down, the brain kind of really is not affected. Swells up again, the swelling goes down. The brain still isn't all that affected. But on the 100th or 200th time that something like that happens, the swelling doesn't go down quite the same way. And there's damage to that portion of the brain. And when that occurs, then your behaviors change, or your thought process, or your ability to have thought process changes. One of the worst brain injuries I ever saw was a young gentleman. I worked with him down in Louisiana. And he was working, and he was on break at a restaurant. And he passed out, and his head hit the corner of a coffee table. And it absolutely, at that moment, his whole life changed, and his whole brain was affected. And he had a difficulty just every day to try to figure out why he's where he is and what happened. And he could only remember that he wanted to own a McDonald's franchise. So every day he would write at that time it was Ray Kroc, but he would write a letter to Ray about how he needs to be the next owner of the next franchise. And that act is all he could remember. And he would do it every day. And if you didn't mail that letter that day, then his behaviors would just escalate. And no matter what you did behaviorally, that was his routine. So slowly over time, and it took years for us to get him to be more normalized about that scenario. But who would think that that would be his thought at the time, right? So his whole brain was affected. So he had a really hard time cognitively understanding that we've been through this every day. It's kind of like that, you know, first 50 days. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but he was kind of like that. So every day we had to relive a traumatic event with the outcome being where he could never really own a franchise for McDonald's, right? So the outcome could never be good for him. So you had to change kind of how do we have him perceive that outcome and what would be good enough for his next path. So the brain injury, it can happen in any portion of the brain. If it's a deep stem, then you're going to have problems walking and gait. That's the people you see on ventilators because you're hurting the thalamus and hypothalamus. So you're actually making it so your system doesn't know it has to breathe, right? So it all depends on how the accident happens. It all depends on how the damage occurs and how deep it is. So we usually take the hardest cases. It's quite a burden at some things, because I've told you this before, you know, because we have some of these athletes and a lot of the veterans, people think, well, that's a fantastic thing. But, you know, these are the most difficult cases. So for us, we have to help them rebuild lives that have just been totally shattered and families that have been torn apart. So for us, we have to stay focused on that. We can't be focused on the media or the attention or the awards or anything like that. We have to be focused on what part of this person's brain has been damaged, how can we reroute the thought process, and how can we make a difference in their life.
You treat people from all over the United States. You're physically located in Michigan. Well, I guess now
yeah,
Florida and some other places too. But you treat people from all over the United States. John, we're about out of time. How can people contact you to learn more, to help, to whatever?
Well, to really get a hold of us, the easiest way is online, of course, thank goodness. But it's afterTheImpact.org, and you can just go online and get all our contact information right there. And you'll see it. It's pretty nationally known now, so come see us. And just start with afterTheImpact.org.
John, thank you. I am so proud to be able to be working with you guys, and I so much appreciate the really servant's heart, the attitude that's there. Thank you, John, for joining us today, and thank you for your service to our nation's military, our veterans, and all our citizens. I'm proud to be a part of your team.
Thanks, Denny. Thanks for being there for us.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we're going to meet AmVet's national saddest. He's actually a sad sack. You're going to like what he talks about. Then we're going to talk football with Air Force Academy Coach Calhoun. He's reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Hit the deck. Troops do an easy, slow 50 one-handed push-ups. I want you lean and mean. I'll be right back. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. AMVETS is the premier veteran service organization in America. Every person who has served honorably in our military, active guard, and reserves is welcome to join me as an AMVET. Find out more at AMVETS.org. Now it's time to meet an interesting guy who really has an interesting job. He's an AMVET, and he's the new national saddest. As an AMVET, I knew there was a group called the saddest, and whenever they're introduced, everybody boos instead of cheers, but I never got around to finding out why. So then at the AMVETS National Convention earlier this month, I met Tom. So, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Mr. Sadist.
Thank you, Denny.
Tom, before we get to your sadistic role, tell us about your time in the military.
I went in the military when I was 17 years old out of high school. And spent 10 years and went to Vietnam and other places down in the Dominican Republic in 1966 for the overthrow of the government down there. I served mainly with the 82nd Airborne Division, the 101st, the 173rd, and the 509th Battalion Combat Team.
So you hit all the airborne units.
That's about what I was.
You know, I tell everybody, jumping out of an airplane is no problem unless it's in flight. you jumped out of a lot of airplanes that were in flight.
Yes, I did.
And then you decided to join AMVETS. Why?
Well, you're always a veteran. Still serving, basically. And once the military is in your blood, it never leaves. My whole family was eight boys and no girls, and every one of us served in the military. And the reason I went in the Army Airborne is because nobody in our family had ever been a paratrooper before. They'd been a Marine, Navy, Air Force, Army, and so I had to be a paratrooper, and that's how I got in there.
So that might have something to do with your current position. You're always the guy who, at least in the family, who does what nobody else has done before, or a little different, a little odder, a little strange?
Yeah, basically, I'm the guy who takes the chances. Yeah, I always have been.
Hey.
You know, being an ambassador has been not a chance. It's a fact that you want to belong to this organization. And the sad facts that I'm the saddest of, the national saddest of, is an entity of the AMVETS that was formed in 1950. It was the first entity formed. It was all AMVETS. And it's the honor and the fun group of AMVETS, similar to the Shriners are to the Masons or the Cooties are to the VFW. We are the honor and fun group of AMVETS.
Give us some specific examples of the kinds of things that you guys have done in your experience.
Our main goal in the AMVET SAD SACs is we sponsor second-year nursing scholarships and sometimes third, but mainly it's the second-year nursing scholarships that our organization, our entity of the AMVETs, that's what we do. We've supported, I think last year, an amount of over $100,000 just from the SAD SACs that went to nursing scholarships to girls, young men that are going to their second year of nursing, got scholarships. We give them donations to help them through school.
I'm guessing that you aim at second year because that's when some people start running into financial difficulties and wonder if they can finish?
Well, we want to ensure that they've served their first year and they know they want to be a nurse. Younger people start out in something and decide, well, I don't want to do that. So we make sure we put it the second year. After they finished or completed their first year, then we'll make our donations to them for the second and third years.
You know, that makes good sense. I teach at a local community college part-time, and one of the things we tell people is one of the things college helps you do is find out what you don't want to do.
Exactly.
And so, therefore, yeah, I see what you're doing. Do your scholarships go primarily to people from AMVETS families?
I would say yes, primarily, because we operated our post level, and each SAC unit for each post, they have the older people that are grandparents of a student, and they're normally putting in for the granddaughter or the grandson going to become a nurse. But also, we work with the community, too. Anybody in our community, that's we deal a lot with the colleges. For example, here in Central Florida, where I'm at, there's a Silver Springs college up the road that specializes in nursing. We go up there and we drop off publications about how they can apply for nursing scholarships. So it's not all out of the post coming, but it also is with our communities also.
So, therefore, if you as an AMVET knew a young person who wanted to be in nursing school, you could recommend them. And that's good enough.
We have an application. They must fill the application out. And in the application, states, are they putting themselves through school? Are the grandparents helping them? Is their mother and father helping them? What their income is, basically, while they're going to school? Their grade point average? And we go through all of this, and then we run that application back with the school to make sure that that's on the up and up. And then to sit down at each SAC unit within the organization at a post level, and it's determined whether we want to give that person the scholarship or not. Mostly scholarships, we try to help the people that are in need, the girls, guys that are working their way through school, part-time job, maybe they've got two kids with no father, and trying to better themselves, that's a primary candidate for scholarship with any post.
That makes sense because you're interested in not just helping yourself, not just helping veterans, but helping the community. And
exactly.
That lets you reach out to wherever the appropriate need is because you may not know anybody in your military community that is interested in going to nursing school right now, but there might be some good people in the community, and it's good the community to get the right people, right?
Exactly. And don't only stop at post-level. The post-level is just the first step. And normally when a scholarship is given at a post-level, the same application is forwarded to the departments in each state. So they're looking at $2,300 they can get in 1 year to help them toward your scholarship.
How can someone, a listener, who's interested in applying for one or donating or whatever, what can they do? How can they plug into the Sad Sacks?
They can go online to amvest.org and go to the Sad Sack site. It's right there as one of the entities. It tells them all about it. And if they want to donate or if they want to get an application, they can take the application right offline and fill it out, take it to their local post, or they can go to their local post. If there's an AmVest post there in town that has a SAC unit, they can go down there and take that application to them, or they can go pick one up there and fill it out. So the main thing is online at amvest.org.
Tom, that says it. And I am so impressed. Tom, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, and may you be the saddest of all sad sacks. I'm proud to call you brother.
Just go boo.
Boo. Tom, thank you so much.
You're welcome, man.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, it's time to talk football with Air Force Academy Coach Calhoun. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops do 20 pull-ups all the way up and all the way down. Nice and slow, then take a break and do 20 more, then stand at ease, but stay in the area. I'll be right back. In accordance with the U.S. flag code, all Spartan Nash retail stores collect customers' old, worn, faded, and/or frayed American flags. In partnership with local veterans groups, we properly retire the flags we collect, a program we have offered since Veterans Day in 2015.
It's part of Spartan Nash's commitment to patriotism and serving our military heroes and their families.
To find a store near you, visit SpartanNash.com.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, don't go it alone. AmVet's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country. AmVet's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AmVet's helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AmVet service officer or to learn more, visit amvets.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We have never faced this before. We have uncertainty in how the water is going to react as it moves out of the spillway and into the surrounding area.
A spokesperson for Harris County speaking to reporters about the water being released from dams to try to keep the dams from overflowing. Officials say they don't know how the floodwaters are going to affect nearby communities, but they're warning residents to evacuate while the roads are still not flooded. Meanwhile, Houston's police chief Art Acevedo is warning looters to stay out of his city.
Don't come to Houston because you're going to be caught. You take advantage of people and prey on them in these circumstances. That's despicable behavior, and we're all going to push hard to make sure you don't see the sunlight anytime soon.
President Trump is on the ground in Texas. He is being briefed around the Corpus Christi area of the massive damage caused when Hurricane Harvey came on land. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for pre1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. Gold was $300 per ounce when I started buying. Today it's over $1,200. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. All those other firms are selling gold bullion. It's not rare, it's not proven, and they have a huge markup because they've commissioned salesmen. I have found the Uber of gold. This company, pre1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre1933.com is a wholesale retailer of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. All conservatives understand the hole America's in. We owe $20 trillion in debt. We all know gold is the answer. It's our insurance policy. But now you can buy your gold wholesale, just like dealers, without commission salesmen involved. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to PRE-1933.com. You'll never buy gold from anyone else ever again.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions, troops. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who died while serving our nation in uniform, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. No charge to you, honoring those who serve. HonorandRemember.org. It's an honor now to welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom our Air Force Academy's great coach, Troy Calhoun. Welcome aboard, Coach.
Well, I appreciate it. I always enjoy when we get a chance to visit.
And, of course, welcome back our football co-host, Quentin Roberts. He was goofing off during non-football season, but he's back for duty. Glad you're here, Quentin.
Hey, glad to be here, Danny. How you doing there, Coach?
I'm doing well, Q.
Well, folks, if you don't know, Quentin played football at Air Force Academy, and Coach Calhoun is the coach there now. So if you sense a little bonding or something going on, you broke the code. Let's get into it. Why don't you quiz the coach since you know the secret words?
All right. Well, I'll also add that, you know, during the wishbone days that I was able to play, the quarterback rides the fullback into the line, and there were many a days that Coach Calhoun gave me that ride into the line, and I tried not to grab onto the ball too often. But
well, Danny, I tell you what, you wanted to hand the ball to him. He was a tough, tough cookie now, and a heck of a football player too, but a better person.
Well, and likewise, Coach, and, you know, it was early on that we knew that you had a future in coaching, and you've done a tremendous job since you've been at Air Force, and, of course, so fortunate to have you there coming from the NFL. And you're coming off a 10-win season, and what's it like after you really wrapped up a great season, won the bowl game, won the Commander-in-Chief's trophy? But I know you have to put that in the rearview mirror as you go into 2017.
No question. You know, really, Quentin, it means absolutely nothing today. And I say it from the standpoint that we got to move forward at a mock speed. And you know what that means? You look at how many of those guys, there were 31 seniors that won at least 10 games two of the last 3 years. Also won a Mountain Division championship, won two bowl championships. I mean, we're able to achieve an awful lot as far as football players, but more importantly, they're going to be excellent officers, but they're not here anymore as football players. And so we got a lot of work to do. I think you look, anytime you only have one starter back on defense, there are some openings, and yet guys are quite eager whenever there is an opening. I remember we had a tremendous fullback here that had to wait a little bit for an opportunity until Pat Evans or Johnny Smith departed, and that guy stepped in the fall of 87, did a great job for us, and Quentin Roberts. And then offensively, the production that's departed, Jacoby Owens rushed for over 3,000 yards the last 3 years. Jalen Robinette was, golly, perhaps the most prolific and productive wide receiver maybe in the history of Service Academy football. So, and then both fullbacks were excellent players in Shane Davern, DJ Johnson. Yet, I love the spirit. I love the work ethic of our guys. You know, I think the hardest thing truly to assimilate and practice is the adversity that you're going to encounter during the course of a game. there's no such thing as without flaw or perfection, or, you know, just being able to handle those setbacks if you're a corner and you give up a big play, which is going to happen. Hopefully not often.
Hopefully not.
but you got to hang in there and go to the next snap, or offensively, maybe a time where you didn't carry the ball or handle the ball as well as you would like, of being able to bounce back and move forward, you know. And so, but as I mentioned, I mean, I do love the attitude of this group, and we have made some headway here in the first 2.5 weeks of August, yet we still have a good ways to go.
You know, Coach, one of the things that gets often overlooked when you talk about Service Academy football, and this goes for Navy and Army as well as Air Force, is the attrition that you deal with from the time that you recruit students in to the time that they're able to see the field. Talk about some of the challenges that cadets have to go through before they even see the field that our listeners may not know about.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom, and co-host Quentin Roberts and I are discussing the upcoming football season with Air Force Academy coach Troy Calhoun. Okay, Coach, talk about those challenges.
Yeah, and you know them so well, Colonel. Obviously, during your years up there, whether it was, you know, whether you call it Beast Barracks or the time out at Jack's Valley or Camp Buckner, truthfully, guys, it's not for everybody. I mean, that's a rugged 5 weeks. You're getting up a little bit earlier at 4:45 than maybe a good number of your same-age peers that maybe are sleeping in till 9:30 or 10 or later in the mornings. The way you're going to have to lose all your hair, we're going to cut it all, we're going to take your cell phone. I mean, just, you know, the sacrifices and the discipline that is quite stout at each one of the respective service academies. Yet ultimately, we know there's a bigger picture, too. And there's a reason why academically you're going to take 18 to 21 semester hours of very, very sturdy classes, why you're going to have to be exceptionally fit. And after you do graduate, you are going to serve in whatever capacity that may be.
Well, and that's well spoken. And I think that for those reasons, when you mention the adversity that the players will go through, whether it be, you know, turnover, big plays, you expect them to be able to have that sort of resilience. And when I look at your schedule, you know, you don't play a cupcake schedule here. Now, I'm looking at this, and you start off with BMI, then you travel to Ann Arbor, Michigan, into the Big House. Kind of in the big picture form, what are you looking to see week after week?
You know, I think the biggest thing that's involved, you want to see some progress, you want to see improvement, and that only comes through the diligence and being dedicated enough to today's work. And yet, frankly, that improvement's very incremental. It requires a steady, nonstop process in the way you go after it day after day. But it's I think in the bigger picture, what you want, hopefully you stay healthy, and I think if you do, then you should be a better player in the middle of October than you are in early September.
Well, Coach, we know that on offense you've got your quarterback coming back, Arian Werthmann, who took over midway through the season, gave a real boost to the team, and defensively, as you mentioned, only one starter back. But tell us a little bit about Arian, a player on defense, and then on special teams, who we may want to keep an eye out for.
Sure. You know, I think Arian, no question, stepped in and did an excellent job for us. His very first starts up in New York in a Service Academy game, that's not easy to do, but really played quite well, as he did during down the stretch of the season. You know, defensively, the one starter that we do have back is a tremendous leader and quite a football player in Grant Ross. He's played a lot of football here over the last 2.5 years, and a guy that hopefully has quite a senior season as we move here over the next few weeks. You know, and then the one special teams player, if you say you just got to pick one, it'd probably be Luke Strabel. Has been really a dependable and solid place kicker for us. Has hit a bunch of big field goals, and a guy that does a good job not only kicking the ball off, but he's kind of one of those guys which you love. He's a little bit hungry when he kicks off, and he wants to stick his, you know, his teeth in it, just like most good kickoff coverage guys do.
Right.
There's a spirit, I think, anytime your guy that's a kickoff guy wants to also be a tackler, that's contagious for the rest of your team.
Well, Troy, really appreciate you coming on with us. I think those things that you mentioned are really going to be tested. I mean, Army and Navy, they want the trophy back just as badly as Air Force. And so want to wish you the very best this year and look forward to seeing you when you come to Ann Arbor.
Appreciate it, Quentin. You too, Colonel Gilliam. Thanks both of you for your great, great service, and especially to recognize, you know, the honoring those who have served. What a super, super purpose.
Well, Coach, everything you described you want in your team, that's what we need in our combat leaders.
Yes, sir.
That's why what you do is so important and so much why I appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights, 50 pounds should do, and do about 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, if you want to learn more about the wonderful things that the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact does for our troops and others with traumatic brain injury, maybe someone you know, check EisenhowerCenter.com. Okay, team, let's open the weekly mailbag. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's first?
Betty from Utah really enjoyed the interview with Navy coach Niamata Lolo. She's been a fan of his for years. She thanks us for talking with him.
Betty, the honor was ours. Coach Niamata Lolo is a great coach and a wonderful human being. The Naval Academy is fortunate indeed to have him on their staff.
Chuck is excited that you'll be covering all the Service Academy football games. He thinks he heard that you played at West Point, did you?
Chuck, yes, I did play football at West Point. I have a football knee to prove it. However, I played intramural football and not on the Army team. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, I was thinking about my time in Vietnam. I had a little experience with a .45 caliber automatic pistol before arriving in country as a second lieutenant, but I quickly found one and carried it along with my rifle. The pistol was a World War II vintage and badly worn. It jammed so often that I really didn't consider it reliable. When I'd loan it to a trooper who was going into a tunnel, I warned him that often it was only good for one shot, but in a tunnel, often one shot's enough. After my first tour in Vietnam, I was assigned to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where I assumed command of an airborne rifle company. My assigned weapon was, a .45 pistol. Indeed, it might have been the same one that I'd left in Vietnam. It rattled when I fired it. The parts were so worn. Then the division was ordered to deploy to Vietnam, so we all had to qualify with our weapons. For the life of me, I couldn't hit those bullseyes with my old rattly weapon. When qualifying with a rifle, an M16, the shooter could shoot at a silhouette. With a pistol, it was a bullseye. After about 100 tries, I've barely qualified finally. I deployed with my company to Vietnam wearing the old pistol. That's why I only owned revolvers until about a year ago when I bought a Glock. Haven't had a problem with that.
Well, you know, Colonel, you remember that old Timex watch commercial? Takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Yeah.
Remember that? They would just beat the snot out of those watches. A Glock is like that. It's like the Timex of the pistol world.
Yeah, it seems to stick out its tongue out of me when I go to clean it. I don't need this.
All right, great.
Now it's time for military history. What do you have first, Skip?
On 29 August 1916, Congress provided for the first time the mobilization of the Lighthouse Service in time of war by authorizing the president, quote, whenever in his judgment a sufficient national emergency exists to transfer to the service and jurisdiction of the Navy Department or of the War Department such vessels, equipment, stations, and personnel of the Lighthouse Service as he may deem to the best interest of the country.
And, of course, the Lighthouse Service is now part of the Coast Guard. So, Roland Ashby, that's part of your history, dude. And on 30 August 1945, General Douglas MacArthur landed in Japan to oversee the formal surrender ceremony and to organize the post-war Japanese government. It was 6 years later, after the Japanese had shown they could be a democracy, that the peace treaty was signed, making Japan a sovereign nation again.
And after that, they became very, very good at making transistor radios, as I recall.
They did, and a lot of other things.
Yeah. On 29 August 1946, the USS Nevada, BB-36, was decommissioned. The Nevada was the lead ship of the two Nevada-class battleships. Her sister ship was Oklahoma. Launched in 1914, the Nevada was a leap forward in dreadnought technology. Four of her new features would be included on almost every subsequent U.S. battleship. Triple gun turrets, oil in place of coal for fuel, geared steam turbines for greater range, and the all-or-nothing armor principle. These features made Nevada the first U.S. Navy super dreadnought. During the last few months of World War I, Nevada was based in Ireland to protect the supply convoys that were sailing to and from Great Britain. In World War II, she was one of the battleships trapped when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. She was the only battleship to get underway during the attack, making the ship, quote, the only bright spot in an otherwise dismal and depressing morning for the U.S. Still, she was hit by one torpedo and at least six bombs, forcing her to be beached. Subsequently salvaged and modernized at Puget Sound Navy Yard, Nevada served as a convoy escort in the Atlantic and as a fire support ship in four amphibious assaults, the Normandy landings and the invasions of southern France, Iwo Jima, and Okinawa. At the end of World War II, the Navy decided that Nevada was too old to be retained. So they assigned her to be a target ship in the atomic experiments that were going to be conducted at Bikini Atoll in July 1946. After being hit by the blast from the first atomic bomb, she was still afloat but heavily damaged and radioactive. She was decommissioned on 29 August 1946, and sunk during naval gunfire practice on 31 July 1948.
She died hard, which is what good warriors do. And that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for our Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, just after 11 a.m. one day, a bad guy in Colerain Township, Ohio, walked out with more than he bargained for after an armed robbery. Witnesses said a man wearing dark clothing and a black hat entered the lobby and demanded their money. Bank workers complied, but a concealed carry permit holder took a stand. The alleged criminal and the customer exchanged fire. The suspect left the scene wounded, with no other injuries or casualties reported.
Thanks, Colonel. This is a great opportunity to discuss when to make a stand and when to back down. It probably would have been safer to comply with the bank robber, but that's not always the only concern. Before you make the decision to use deadly force, you should first ensure that you've met the legal threshold. In general, you must be in imminent fear of death or serious bodily injury, and your fear should be reasonable and honest. That is, you're not faking it, and that most others in the same situation would also be afraid for their lives. Those conditions appear to have been met in this case. Second, you should decide if you are morally justified in using deadly force. This is important because even if you're acquitted of a crime, you still may be judged harshly by your friends and family, and perhaps even by yourself. Everyone is different. Some will use deadly force much quicker than others, and that's okay, provided your use of force is both legal and moral. The third question to ask is this: is it wise to use deadly force in this given scenario? Do you have the ability to prevail in the ensuing gunfight? Can you make the shot? Do you have the courage and level-headedness? Most people are terrified to the point of stasis when faced with deadly force, but a minority are calm and rise to the challenge. Most people don't know how they'll react to the prospect of their death until the moment of truth arrives. Perhaps the most important thing is this: when you decide to intervene, you do so with every fiber of your being and with the heart of a warrior. This is not the time to hold back or be timid. Remember, it's not enough to survive a gunfight. You can survive and still spend the rest of your life in a wheelchair or flat on your back. You must train hard in order to prevail and flourish when your time of battle arrives.
Amen, brother. Our book giveaway this week is Edward Gordon and David Ramsey's Divided on D-Day: How Conflicts and Rivalries Jeopardized the Allied Victory at Normandy. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny at frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put Divided on D-Day in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, General Arnold Pinero will join us again. He'll discuss the full impact of President Trump's Afghanistan speech. Then we'll talk with Air Force Major General Ken Lewis about the Air Force Reserve Command. We'll also talk with American Airlines Captain Jim Palmersheim about how American Airlines supports our military and our veterans. They do a great job. Troops, if you or a vet you know needs help finding a job, there's real help available. Go to the AmVets Career Center. Find it at amvets.org.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you or your friends had guard, KP, or other duties that force you to miss any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
Mike Hewitt here with a minute of common sense. The media tells us how bad things are because of Trump's rhetoric. Do you think so? In 2004, I was exiting a President Bush rally. By happenstance, there were several classes of elementary school-aged children. Their teachers and a few parents were walking out with me. We were met by protesters screaming outrageous vulgarities. Their signs read the same. In 2006, I was walking beside a Republican float passing out candy. A mother instructed her three young children, "Don't you take any candy from those folks," I can't say that word. I could go on with examples I've seen from the years of volunteerism, but let me just offer you one final one. At a town hall gathering this week, I watched a crowd of leftists rudely hissing at an 8-year-old Girl Scout, an award recipient, when she expressed excitement for a coming trip to the White House and a chance to meet the President of the United States. So I ask you, is President Trump's temperament the problem? Obviously not. For more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
Smart home technology, meet beautiful window coverings. Introducing Smart Shades by Budget Blinds and Lutron. Automated shades that open and close at the touch of a button. Budget Blinds has been in business for over 25 years and is North America's number one provider of custom window coverings. And Lutron is the most established name in smart home technology. So, now you can expect the best in both fashion and function with our beautifully styled Smart Shades. Choose from an extensive designer selection of fabrics, colors, and textures from traditional to contemporary. Our smart shades are so easy to use and easy to afford. Get high style and expert service for every budget. Get smart shades from Budget Blinds and Lutron. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now for your free smart home consultation. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS or go online to budgetblinds.com. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We have never faced this before. We have uncertainty in how the water is going to react as it moves out of the spillway and into the surrounding area.
A spokesperson for Harris County speaking to reporters about the water being released from dams to try to keep the dams from overflowing. Officials say they don't know how the floodwaters are going to affect nearby communities, but they're warning residents to evacuate while the roads are still not flooded. Meanwhile, Houston's police chief Art Acevedo is warning looters to stay out of his city.
Don't come to Houston because you're going to be caught. You take advantage of people and prey on them in these circumstances. That's despicable behavior. And we're all going to push hard to make sure you don't see the sunlight anytime soon.
President Trump is on the ground in Texas. He is being briefed around the Corpus Christi area of the massive damage caused when Hurricane Harvey came on land. USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Harris.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7222.